Standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing.
Do the Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch today, August 10th, 2023. Right here in summer. What a summer it's been. Been a little different out here this year. I can sure tell you that. We thank you for joining us, and we'll have the phone lines. We do have the phone lines open tonight. If you care to call in, 307-745-5913. But we're going to start out with a word of prayer, and we encourage you, the remnant, to do that very thing, to start your day, to start your endeavors, the things that you do, to start them with prayer. You can't go wrong if you do that. How about that? Well, let's do that very thing. Well, Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the mercy and grace that you have poured out upon your people today, Lord. Thank you for a good day here at the Radio Ranch, Lord. A sunshiny day, warm and just enough breeze to keep it from getting too hot. Lord, thank you for a good day outside. And Lord, thank you for allowing me to get the mail done and the mail out, and I praise you for that. Lord, we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and redeemed us from the pit, bought us back as we had been sold without money, and bought us back with his precious blood. And we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing that. That gives us another day. That gives us the opportunity to, well, to not be hopeless like the world, but to, we have you, our hope. And I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Father, guide and direct us this evening. I pray for a good broadcast. I pray, oh Lord, for your people, Lord, to be encouraged by maybe something they hear or think of, Lord, by listening in. We thank you, Lord, that again we have hope in these trying times. That as these perilous times and troubling times that your word speaks of, that they are today. And Lord, more and more people all over this country are seeing that that we are living in biblical times. Well, Lord, let us be as at least some of those biblical people, Lord, and let us look to you. Let us remember and know, as Gideon did, that it is you that have caused these things to happen because of our sin. But Lord, you have offered a way through repentance in Jesus Christ to turn from that and to have restoration. And I pray that, Lord, for the people in this land before it's too late. Guide and direct me tonight, Lord, as we talk about some current events and some scriptures. And again, I hope and pray that this broadcast would be encouraging to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And Remnant, again, thanks for tuning in. It is Thursday, August 10th, and phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. And was reading in Jeremiah, and just had a couple scriptures I wanted to start with tonight. It tells us this throughout the scriptures, but right here in Jeremiah 46, it says, "But as for you, O Jacob, my servant, do not fear, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For see, I am going to save you from afar, and your descendants from the land of their captivity. And Jacob will return and be undisturbed, and secure, with no one making him trouble. O Jacob, my servant, do not fear, declares the Lord, for I am with you. For I will make a full end of all the nations where I have driven you, yet I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct you properly, and by no means leave you unpunished." And so, encouraging words there to a people that, well, that had been exiled, to a people that all the other nations were thriving and growing, except Jacob, except Israel. And again, it was because of their sin, And as God says, I will correct you properly. And Remnant, I think we are being corrected properly right now. With the inflation, with the food prices, with gasoline prices, they're back up almost. I think I filled up today $3.89 a gallon. And that's usually at a store that's on the lower end in Laramie. $3.89 a gallon today to fill up with gasoline. And that's one of the birth pangs. I firmly believe it. That's one of the birth pangs. These you might make more and more, but it costs more and more. Just for the everyday essentials. I've got about four current events I want to talk about tonight. I didn't print this one out, but I saw in looking through and selecting these today that I forget if it was the Federal Reserve or one of the large banks was saying that America now is Americans. People like you and me are carrying $1 trillion in credit card debt. $1 trillion. First time it's hit that way. And spend, more, and you end up with less. That's just how it is. Well, again, Remnant phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. I would ask you to pray as you feel led for the people in Hawaii. And even this is odd. They have wildland fires in Hawaii. Lots of beach, but lots of agriculture, lots of forest, things like that. Latest headlines, death toll rises to 53 after this horrible Hawaii wildfire. They have had powerful winds created by Hurricane Dora just came through just off the islands, and a big high pressure system to the north, and very strong winds. Says it's the worst destruction in more than 30 years. Fast moving wildfires on Maui, resulting in 53 confirmed deaths, and that number will probably increase as time goes on. Power lines down, 911 system down. Says wind gusts of 85 miles an hour have grounded firefighting equipment and aided in the decimation of some communities on Maui. Says block after block in historic Lahaina was burned to the ground. In some cases, people had to jump into the ocean to escape the flames. That was there on Highway 30, which is right on one of the oceans. I saw it on a map. I've never been there. But it is devastation out there. Now, many of you, I've talked to you over the years, have vacationed in Hawaii. I have a couple friends here that have. But they're saying that 11,000 people have been evacuated off the island, and 1,500 more were expected to leave today. What a mess. And now, Remnant, I don't recall anything like this. Any type of fire to this extent happening in Hawaii in my lifetime, I don't recall. We've been doing fire part-time and volunteer for the last 21 years, and never have I heard of anything like this. Just a bit different. See, it might be a knock at the door. I don't know if anybody out there, I would bet they were praying. Maybe they were praying to their Hawaiian gods. I don't know. Maybe they were tourists praying to Jesus Christ. But when you have to jump out of your car into the ocean to keep from getting burned up, that's a little drastic. That's a little different than normal. I guess some people will have to, that actually has to happen to them for them to maybe repent or for them to call out to God. Well, another current event that I saw kind of made me, well, it didn't make me chuckle. It's just not good. Here says, man forced to ditch a $115,000 Ford electric vehicle truck during his family road trip to Chicago. So here's this Mark Mills, a Manhattan Institute senior, okay? And oh, I guess that's who wrote the article. So it's a Canadian man calling the electric vehicles, quote, the biggest scam of modern times after his frustrating experience. And and he is Dalbir Bala. Dalbir, D-A-L-B-I-R, Bala, B-A-L-A. So, anyway, lives in Winnipeg. Bought a Ford F-150 Lightning EV in January for $115,000, and it has been a mess ever since. I'll pause here. I see the phone lines ringing. Hey, good evening, and welcome to 7x70.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, good evening, Tim.
I wanted to remind you and everyone else that once before, because you were just talking about how the people saved their lives by going into the ocean so they didn't get burned by the fire.
Right, there in Hawaii.
Once before in history, our people went into the sea to escape the charging chariots of Pharaoh's army. And
they went on dry land. They didn't jump in the ocean. They went through the waters, but they were on dry land. They were. But you're right. They went, you know, and even in the New Testament, it talks about them, you know, being baptized in the sea in Christ.
One of my favorite verses.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Bible verse is Exodus 14:13, and you know, the Egyptians, you know, you're just not going to see them anymore. And that popped into my brain today, and thank praise the Lord for it, because I think there's going to be some happy days coming up. I just feel it in my bones.
Well, the Word says it. I read in Psalms, I think it was 77 last night, that sometimes we have to look to the to God's miracles of old. We look and see what He's done, and that should encourage us and remind us that He has saved us before, and He will again. And the Bible has formulas for being saved, whether it's for being saved from your sins, and it's not raising your hand and saying the sinner's prayer and accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. That is nowhere in the Bible. If that's in the Bible somewhere, people, show me. It's not. That's not the biblical plan of salvation. And so there's a plan and a formula to be saved, but it's 2 + 2 = 4. It's not X plus an apple equals an orangutan. And that's about where people are today. And so there's biblical plans for salvation, for being saved, like those that you mentioned, Tim, those Egyptians that went into the, that walked across, went through the Red Sea. It was because they had observed the Passover, because they killed the lamb, they applied the blood, They didn't just believe in the blood or believe in the lamb or accept the blood. Well, God gives us this blood, so I accept it. No, they applied it and they were saved and they made it out. And the ones that didn't apply the blood didn't get saved. And it is no different today.
And I think that the people that are saying, they should be saying, us instead of me, you know? I mean, because it isn't us, you know? It's a nation. It's a nation that's been here now, you know, since the Pilgrims and whatever, maybe before, you know, and we had a hell of a 400-year period of trouble. I mean, when you really look at the real history of our country, I mean, none of us have been having a good time at all, except for maybe an illusionary good time, like after World War II or something. They thought they were having a good time, but really didn't last all that long. And I tell you, I think we went through that 400-year period of trouble. And I think that, you know, and with them basically mocking him all the time, you know, mocking Jesus with the adversary, you know, as seized power, is mocking all the time. You know, it's just laughing at him all the time, right? And that's going to bring real trouble on them.
Right.
So I'm just looking at a sunny day coming up. I just can't help but feel somewhat optimistic.
Well, that's what we are to feel, Tim. We are to, you know, to be like the Proverbs 31 woman and smile at the future. The term has come up several times that I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow, and it is our Heavenly Father. And so we can be optimistic. That's encouraging to hear that, and we are to be that way. It's a beautiful day, and as long as we're still here, we have work to do, and we don't do it alone, and that's a good thing. So, well, Tim, thank you so much for the call, brother. God bless. Hope you have a great evening. Amen. We are to be optimistic. Well, this getting back to this story, this Dalbir Balah in Winnipeg paid $115,000 plus tax for his Ford F-150 Lightning. He said he needed it for work, but also wanted something suitable for recreational activities like driving to his cabin or going fishing. And he wanted an environmentally friendly vehicle, as owning one is, quote, responsible citizenship these days. So, you know, it doesn't seem like he's this pie in the sky going to save the earth, save the world, but okay, electric vehicle, less emissions. He bought into that. Huh. It says the vehicle required two chargers, one at work, one at home, for $10,000. To accommodate the charger at home, he had to upgrade his home's electrical panel for $6,000. And so it was $130,000. He paid $115 for the truck, and then another $15 for charging stations. And he had to upgrade the electrical service at his house. And that's what many people realize, and they don't put it out a lot here in the States about that. Says not after long after the purchase, he got in a minor accident, required light work on the front bumper. He took it to the body shop. They kept it for 6 months. Nobody from Ford would answer his phone, email, or phone calls. He finally gets it back. He heading down to Chicago. Gonna go. Why, I don't know, but he's gonna go to Chicago. He says the fast charging level one stations, which only charge EVs up to 90%, cost more than gas for the same mileage. Said it took him 2 hours and $56 to charge his vehicle from 10% to 90%, and that was good for 215 miles. On his second trip, or second stop, the free charger was faulty. The phone number on the charging station was no help. They drove to another charging station. That charger was faulty. He says the sheer helplessness was mind-boggling. He says there was no other level one charger within range, and his vehicle only had 12 miles. He says by now it was afternoon. We were stuck, hungry, and heartbroken, and broke because of all this. He says ultimately he had the vehicle towed to a Ford dealership, and he rented a regular gas vehicle to complete his trip to Chicago. He says, after that, it was in the shop for 6 months. I can't take it to my lake cabin. I can't take it off for camping. I even can't take it on a road trip. He says, this is the biggest scam of modern times. He goes on and says, do your research before even thinking about it and make a wiser choice than I did. He says, the actual thing they promised is not even close, not even 50%. And once you buy it, you're stuck with it. And you have to carry huge losses to get rid of that. And nobody there to help you. Well, there you go. We reported Saturday, Ford looking to lose, what, $4 billion on these, said that they were losing about half that much money, $60,000 on every truck they sold, these electric vehicles. It's a scam. An absolute scam. I talked a couple, it was this past Sunday, I guess, on knowing the truth. And this is one of those truths, Remnant, that you need to know. Now, I sure have a different outlook on the hybrid vehicles. We have one. I bought a hybrid of a Prius for my wife. Drives a lot, and it, so far, it has worked as promised. The hybrid technology has a little four-cylinder gasoline engine in it, and a battery bank that runs an electric motor. And it's got a computer that, if you, when you first start off, it's using the, usually the electric motor to get you going up to about 5 or 10 miles an hour. And then, like when you push the pedal on a golf cart, it starts automatically. Well, then the electric motor starts you, then the gasoline engine kicks in, and it keeps you going. If you're going down a hill or something like that, it charges the batteries. And when you're driving, it keeps the batteries charged as well. If we've got to change something, I think the hybrid technology, Toyota's had it, I think, about 22, 23 years, if not longer. And it's getting, it's better than it was. But this just, plug your car in, it doesn't work. It just doesn't. And we've seen news report after news report of these same issues. I remember there was a man in, I think in Loveland, somewhere there on the Front Range, and we reported on that last year, that had the same problems. He bought an electric vehicle, and it took him like 17 hours to go 100 miles. It just did not work. And so I bring this up because it is a lie that so many of our people have bought into. One of many, that's for sure. But the lie that these electric vehicles, they're more economical to use, and they're better for the environment and all this stuff, and it's just not so. It's just not. I mean, it's to the point you get a tax whatever credit or something if you have a all electric vehicle. Doesn't apply to the hybrids, but it applies to the electric vehicles, because that's what the powers that be want you to have. And if you can't charge your electric vehicle, you can't drive it anywhere. You know, a gasoline engine, if you had to, you could make a wood-burning stove set up properly. The exhaust off a wood-burning stove can run an internal combustion engine if you have to. If you have to. And an internal combustion engine can run on propane, on LPG, on gas. The diesels will run on diesel, on all types of what do they call them, cooking oils, vegetable oils, things like that. That's what the diesel was created for. The man named Diesel was a farmer, and he created an engine that you could grow your own fuel for it. And that was the oils. Anyway, that's off subject. But I just see these lies are being made known that we're seeing in the land, like this electric vehicle. You know, how would you like it if you've spent $130,000 on this vehicle and it doesn't work for you? Oh, well. Too bad, so sad. That's just where that's where we are. And I try to have compassion for the man. You know, he believed what Ford was telling him and what his government's telling him, and I'm sure what his friends are telling him and what his work people are telling him. Oh, that'll be the greatest thing since sliced bread. Yeah, get that electric truck. That'll be neat. And I've seen a couple of them around, not much. We had about 6 weeks ago, we had one of those. It's a different truck company, Rivian or something like that. I've seen their trucks around. They're not a Tesla. They look just like a very modern-looking truck, but they're electric. And it was in the local newspaper. I didn't see where the man was from, but it was going to drive his electric truck across Wyoming. And he made it across Wyoming all right, but it was being pulled by a tow truck. And it just is not working. It's just not. I've talked to several people about the hybrids. Most people I talk to like them. The gasoline engine's getting 40 to 50 miles per gallon. We had a brother on the ministry from Texas come out, and he had one. Had over 400,000 miles on it. And it was still just chugging right along. Had a very lengthy commute, and so over the miles it is pretty economical. If you can get in the, you know, be in the 40 to 50 mile per gallon range overall, that's pretty good, and that's how the electric motor and the batteries assist the internal combustion engine that runs on gas to get that kind of mileage. And so, you know, that's almost like a truth. That works. The electric vehicles don't. We're just seeing it time and time again. And like I mentioned to Tim when he called, that's just one of many lies that so many in our land believe today. And that biblical plan of salvation, unfortunately, is foreign and not understood by so many. But there is more to it than saying the sinner's prayer and accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. That is an oracle of man and not an instruction of God. Yes, we are to believe. Yes, we are to call on His name. But we are to obey Acts 2:38. We are to do what Peter told them to do. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that, that in a nutshell, is the biblical plan of salvation. Anyway, well, Remnant, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Saw this, you know, South Africa racked in riots and violence, and it is just, oh, it's no more apartheid, but tell me, is South Africa better off away from white rule than it was with white rule? And I say no. Here was a British doctor murdered in South Africa after a wrong turn during the taxi violence. That's what it was. Yeah, murdered last week in Cape Town after taking a wrong turn near the airport, driving into a poor neighborhood racked by violent protests. So they just killed him. says he entered Nyinga, one of the black townships that are legacies of the apartheid era, where many people still live in tiny shacks. Now, apartheid has been gone from South Africa for 25, 30 years now, and they still live in tiny shacks. Oh, because that's a legacy. That's how it was. It says even the locals tend to avoid those areas. It's just a truth. Or you can keep believing the lie. But the truth is, South Africa is much worse off now. The people in South Africa are much worse off now than they were. There's more crime, more murder, less capital, less income. It's just truth. Well, I've got one more current event for you. This one really caught my eye. It isn't making the rounds in the mainstream media. Just came out today. Here's a report from the CDC. Nearly 120,000 young adults and children died from COVID shots. Not from the sickness, from the shot, from the vaccine. Says a new report reveals that a secret CDC document confirms nearly 120,000 children and young adults died due to the COVID-19 vaccine's dangerous side effects. Yeah, we've been seeing it ever since. Whether it's young people having heart attacks, Olympic athletes, news reporters passing out, dying on... It's just been insane. This report includes more than 78,000 excess deaths in that age group during 2021 after the shots were available. And government started demanding people accept them. And the 39,000 in 2022. Says the report elaborated, compared to other countries, the U.S. government has been terrible at publishing relevant and up-to-date data, allowing us to analyze the consequences of rolling out the COVID-19 injections. However, we fully managed to stumble upon it thanks to an institution known as the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OEC. The report explained the official figures reveal that there was a slight increase in excess deaths among children and young adults when the alleged COVID-19 pandemic hit the U.S. in early 2020. However, with the introduction of a COVID-19 injection, one would have expected deaths to have fallen significantly among the age group in 2021. However, the opposite happened. How about that? The opposite happened. Oh, when they started giving them shots, more people died. Says excess deaths among children and young adults were significantly higher every single week in 21 than they were in 20, except for 2 weeks. The report said the number of excess deaths surged after the rollout of the COVID-19 shots. Says in every single month since the beginning of 22, partly vaccinated and double vaccinated 18 to 39-year-olds have been more likely to die than unvaccinated 18 to 39-year-olds. Triple vaccinated 18 to 39-year-olds, however, have had a mortality rate that is worsened by the months following the mass booster campaign that occurred over in the UK in December 2021. Anyway, it's what we have reported on. Oh, that conspiracy theory. You conspiracy kooks thinking the COVID vaccine is killing people. You're crazy. I had my 3 shots and I'm still here. till they die. And here's a secret CDC document confirming that more children and young adults died due to the vaccine's dangerous side effects than died of the COVID-19 itself. It's just the truth. If you want to believe it, believe it. If you don't, don't. Yet we have that, somewhat of that freedom still here to do that. And God certainly gives us free will to believe these truths or not. Or to say, ah, them kooks. That's just it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Here, give me my booster shot. I've signed up for it. I saw the president take it. If it's good for him, it's good for me. If that's how you want to go about it, if that's how you've gone about it, okay. We emailed out the link to that, what was it called? Died Suddenly? That expose video that was done about a year ago. And I watched it, and it sure seemed to hit the nail right on the head and drove it home. And we are still seeing these side effects. These teenagers, otherwise healthy athletes. I'm not talking about a 300-pound obese 12-year-old. Healthy. Seemingly healthy people just keeling over. News reporters, sports reporters, actors, actresses, athletes. I read in Jeremiah 46, God says, I will correct you properly and by no means leave you unpunished. And I think that when he was not speaking to an individual at that time, as he was speaking through Jeremiah, he was speaking to his people, plural, more than one, all of them. He's talking about Jacob and Israel as a people. And it's the people, he says, he tells them, oh, my people, oh, Jacob, oh, Israel, don't fear. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. But he says, I will correct you properly. And we do have to understand that we are a people. That we are the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Germanic, Celtic, and kindred people that settled this nation. And we are their descendants, you and me, today. And those people are the dispersion. They are Jacob. They are Israel. We are Jacob. We are Israel. We see this very thing happening. You go through this scripture, it is so hard. They twist it and try to apply it to that sandbox over there in the middle of the desert that was taken from the Palestinians in 1948, and a homeland created. Doo-doo-doo! Yeah, I don't see that anywhere in here either. A land of unwalled villages with an eastern sea and a western sea. Called by a new name, not by the old name. No, it doesn't apply over there. But we see it applying here. If you flip back to Deuteronomy 28, if you're not real familiar with that, I don't have time to read it. But you can flip back over to Deuteronomy 28. If you're not familiar with it, I encourage you to read it. To read Deuteronomy 28. The blessings and the curses. God says, if you obey, diligently obey, I'll bless you. And if you don't, I'll curse you. It's just that simple. And God, Zach, Brother Zach had a great message just a couple weeks ago. God did not change. And God has not changed. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We see that Jesus Christ does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But read through Deuteronomy 28. Read through. It's what we're living. It absolutely is. From the southern invasion, from our children being taken from us, whether it's in divorce, or whether it's by disease, or whether it's by the lust of the flesh and the love of the world that has such a draw on them. And it all comes down to the end of it. It says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. Had to take mail to town, ran by the grocery store, grabbed a couple things, and I asked the checkout guy how he was doing. He says, I'm mad at our forefathers. They could have never anticipated how things were going to be like right now. And I said, wait a minute now. I said, those forefathers, they laid the groundwork for us. But I think it was John Adams that said, this Constitution will only work for a moral, and he said religious, he meant Christian, a moral and Christian people. And I told the man, we're not, he says, well, we're Christian. I said, not as a people. See, we're a people. Jacob, a people. Israel, a people. And we don't have God's law as law of the land. It was set up that way. Oh, but it didn't last too long. It changed. And now 400 years later, it sure has changed. So God says, I'll punish you correctly, properly. It won't be an end to you. I won't wipe you all out. But when you read Deuteronomy 28, tell me a family. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground. Tell me a family that have it, and it goes on and on and talks about consumption. The Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with fiery heat and the sword and blight and mildew. And tell me what family's not affected by those things. What family's not? Consumption, cancer. It's rampant. And inflammation and fever. We build more hospitals than we do anything else. Build more children's hospitals than almost anything else. You'll be oppressed and robbed continually. Oh, wages have gone up for some. Prices have gone up faster. Inflation's gone up faster. Anyway, it's there, remnant. And I know I'm preaching to the crowd, to the remnant that knows and understands. I hope that this is an encouragement, maybe a reminder. When you're talking with your friends and family, maybe this will be a reminder to go to Deuteronomy 28 and to see how this is happening to me and to you, to all of us in this land right now. It's a further proof that this land is his land, that we are his people, and this is happening because of our disobedience. It is a greater proof that God does not change, that he keeps his word, and that he offers a way out. because you wouldn't obey, guess what happens if you do obey? When you do that as a person, as a family, things change. Well, guess what happens when a community does that? When a nation does that? It says, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments. Guess what happens to a family, to an individual, when he does start keeping God's commandments? Starts obeying, starts doing, starts applying what this word says to do instead of just accepting Jesus as their personal Savior. Things change. Things change. Well, Remnant, my voice is gone. That's all I got for you tonight. Thank you for tuning in. I want to invite you to join us Saturday morning for coffee. I hope you will. 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. on the West Coast. Join us Saturday morning right here at scriptures4america.org for coffee with the Wranglers. We'll talk to you then. God bless.
When men become men of God again. Are you ready, men back there?
Men.
Are you men ready?
Men.
Yes, sir.
All right.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.